Oh, good morning, councillors.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In accordance with the local government meeting procedures regulations 2015, notice is hereby given that an ordinary meeting of the Central Highlands Council is scheduled to be held in the council chamber Hamilton on Tuesday 20th of May, commencing at 9 a.m. with the business of the meeting to be in accordance with the following agenda. This is general manager certification pursuant to section 51 of the Local Government Act. I hereby
65.
Did I say 61? Sorry, 65.1 of the Local Government Act 1993. I hereby certify with respect to the advice, information and or recommendation provided for the guidance of council in this agenda that A, such advice, information and or recommendation has been given by a person who has qualifications or experience necessary to give such advice, and B, where any advice is given by a person who does not have the required qualifications or experience, that person has obtained and taken into account the advice from an appropriately qualified or experienced person. Section 65.2, I'm fogging up, forbids counsel from deciding any matter which requires the advice of a qualified person without considering that advice. Dated at Bothwell on the 15th day of May 2025 by Stephen Mackey, the Acting General Manager. You have the order of business in front of you listed. And the meeting commenced at 9. Audio recording disclaimer. The Mayor advises the meeting and members of the public the council meetings, not include the closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on council's website in accordance with council's policy 2017-50. The Mayor also advises that members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of council meetings without prior approval being granted. Acknowledgement of country. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Tasmanian Aboriginal people, past, present and future. The conduct of the council meeting. Central Highlands Council takes safety seriously. We have a duty to ensure that we provide a safe workplace for our employees, councillors, contractors and members of the public whilst present at council workplaces. These premises form part of the council's workplace, and it is expected that everyone who attends council meetings will behave in a polite and respectful manner. People should refrain from using offensive or derogatory language or comments and not be aggressive, threatening or speak in a hostile manner. We have present is myself, the Deputy Mayor, all right, Councillor Miller, Councillor Archer, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Hall, Acting General Manager Stephen Mackey, and Executive Officer Katrina. So obviously there's no apologies because we're all here. And number two is the consideration of supplement the items to the agenda. May I have a mover, Councillor Meacham and Councillor Honour? No comment to that, Councillor Meacham?
There is a notice of motions from Councillor Meacham that needs, is a supplementary.
But, yeah, it was just overlooked in the earlier processes. So.
All right. Yep. Councillor, I was the seconder. Any comment? Councillor Laws, any comment? Councillor, all right.
Oh, no, I'm going to do
that. Oh.
1 step in front of you, sorry, Mayor.
That's all right. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Okay, that motion is carried. Or recommendation, yes. Declaration of pecuniary interest and conflict. You all know this off by now. Are there any?
I have one, Mayor.
Councillor Bailey, what would that be?
The country club.
What?
I'm still a member there.
Item 17.4.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Not yet. Full of this.
Item agenda number 17.4, and that was the Youth Country Club, correct?
Yeah.
Okie Doty.
I've got a full resume.
Councillor.
I've got one enclosed, which is 4.4, 4.3.
4.4, 4.2, 4.3. 4.2 and 4.3. Great. Any others? No? Okay. So, declaration of conflict of interest. Do we have any? No. 4 is the minutes. 4.1 is the confirmation of draft ordinary council meeting minutes, 15th of April. The recommendation as written. I move it, please. Councillor Honour and Councillor Hall. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Hall?
No.
Councillor Laws?
No.
No? Carrie, thank you.
I'll put that to the vote.
Yep. Okay, that's correct. 4.2, reserve of draft and board panel meeting on the 14th of April. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Machen, Councillor Wright. Any comment, Councillor Machen?
Only this, that with Deputy Mayor Allwright, we're moving towards a bit more elaboration of what constitutes our financial reserves.
Well, I can bring that up. Yeah, I'll print it in June. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Kath, all right, you're going to speak when the finance? Yeah, well, I'll just ask you to bring, what's the word, sort of just a little tweak on how it's our reserves are recorded.
Oh, okay, yep, all righty. Councillors, any comments? All right, I'll put to the vote. Please raise your hands in favour of the recommendation. That is carried. Thank you.
Sorry, Jim. I...
No, that's all right. But I haven't got a motion to do that. I don't know if he does it or not.
Okay.
Number 5, notification of council workshops held 29th of April and 6th of May. Recommendation as written. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Honour, Councillor Miller. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Miller?
No.
Councillor Laws?
No.
Okay, please raise your hand in favour of the recommendation. All righty, carry. Future workshops. The purpose of the report is for councillors to note the council workshop date. Next workshop to be held to be confirmed. Have we? I thought we mentioned something in a workshop before.
Well, we did look at budget ones being the 27th or the
6th
of June, and I think we decided to scrap all of them.
Did we? Okay. All right.
Thank goodness.
Okay, everyone happy with that one? Okie dokie. That's good. 6 is the closure of the meeting to the public, the recommendation. Councillor Honour. Seconder Councillor Bailey. Any comment to that, Councillor?
No.
Councillor Bailey? Councillor Bailey?
No. No, no, I'm sorry. No.
Councillors? No. Please raise your hand in favour of the recommendation to go into close. All right, thank you. That is carried. So we get our close agenda ready. Now reopen the meeting at 10 a.m. Thank you, councillors. The mayor advises, again advises, the meeting and members of the public, the council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on the council's website. Members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings at council meetings without prior approval being granted. 8, public release announcements. The chairperson announced that pursuant to Regulation 15.8.9 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, and having considered privacy and confidential issues, the council authorised the release to the public the following discussions, decisions, reports or documents relating to the closed meeting. 2.1, the decision that the minutes of the closed session of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 15th of April 2025 be confirmed. 4.1 is the rate submission motion was lost. 4.2, this item is yet to be discussed. 4.3, this item is yet to be discussed. I won't go through all the 2 pages of public question time. As we have no one in the gallery, I don't believe it's necessary. Are we happy to keep moving? Mm. Yes. Thank you. Number 10, petition deputations presentations. Nil. Petitions nil. Deputation Inspector Luke Horn had an unexpected commitment and apologises for not being here, but he would like to attend council in June at Bothwell. So that would be 10 o'clock at the ordinary meeting of council in June. Presentations 10:20, we have Eve Lazarus, Josie Kilman. It's the nature repair plan and pilot for the Dura catchment. 11 is notice of motions under Regulation 16 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015 relating to motions on notice. It states the following: a councillor may give to the general manager at least 7 days before a meeting, give written notice of a motion together with supporting information and reasons to be included on the agenda of that meeting. 11.1 is a notice of a motion from Councillor Meacham. Councillor Meacham has moved, and could I have a seconder for the motion as written? Councillor Cassidy is second that motion. Would you like to speak to Councillor Meacham?
Yes, thank you. I note later that at 16.2 this matter is raised again, but I'd like to reinforce at this point and ask the Chancellor, if not now, then when? You know, to continue quoting that phrase, if not today, why make these promises at all? Pushing the work to the end of the year. What's wrong with Telstra? Scared of work, you know, working in the cold? It's ridiculous. If it is a matter of the new financial year, and then, you know, if it's budgeted within the coming financial year, then get to it in July, August, September, and we'll be up there with hot mugs of coffee and puffer jackets to sit brave so they stay brave. So, yeah, I understand that if the work has to come in the 25-26 financial year, hence the delay. Get this done before somebody dies, please. And within that correspondence, I think it's at 16.2, where Telstra offers to come up and meet with us again. Like, what more do they need to know? It's ridiculous. This is taking so long. So we get dropouts, as I say, in that supported background detail. Emergency service people now are sleeping with their walkie-talkies beside their bed because that's the one technology that continues to work.
Exactly.
The internet dropout rate is deplorable. For myself, I know commonly if people call me, including councillor colleagues, it often goes straight to the answering phone. That's not me ignoring you. I don't even hear the call. That's how efficient the phone service is. Now, my techie friends tell me that what happened when they moved from 3G to 4, they didn't give sufficient bandwidth to adequately serve our community. It needs to be seen to. Pronto. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy is the seconder.
Oh, yes. So, shortly after Honourable Minister Rebecca White was elected, I had contacted her about this very issue. And I was fishing through my phone there to see if I could actually, you know, find the text. Anyway, she did respond, and she said she'll keep us in mind and so forth. And I know it's a very important issue for a safety issue. And I think we should continue pressing Telstra to to upgrade the facilities there.
Thank you, councillors. Councillor Allwright, then.
As per off the press in the last week or so, Tilford Vet gets his knuckles cracked for over-representing its coverage across Australia.
Yes.
See that in the news last night?
40%.
So this only just adds to it. Yes, just give them a bit of hard words, Steve.
Okay, Councillor Ball.
Have they got their cheque yet?
Of course not.
Councillor Hall.
It's not as if we haven't been trying. We've had two workshops with these guys.
Yeah.
Two meetings, and both times we've come out with very little results.
Yeah.
We didn't get any results. Mm. So, I mean, I think it's mean it's appalling, the response from Telstra and their service.
Any other councillor comments? Did you want to add anything to that, sir?
I'll do that at 16.
16. Very good. Alrighty, so I'll put the recommendation.
Close the closing comments.
Councillor Meacham.
No, you're right.
You're the
mover. A community visit, as I said, really doesn't cut the mustard in this respect, and I'd also like to acknowledge the emergency services people who've done so well up there,
exactly,
getting this in front of. There's been a series of ABC articles, and I've just got an SMS of a further one being produced by the ABC. So let us add to that momentum. Thank you.
The second, Councillor Cassidy, any comment?
Debate's
closed. Okay, I will ask for a raise of hands. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against that recommendation? That is carried. Thank you.
Thanks.
11.2, recommendation by Councillor Meacham that Council revert to holding the open meeting of Council prior to conducting the closed session of the meeting. Moved by Councillor Meacham. May I have a seconder, please? Councillor Miller. Councillor Meacham, do you wish to speak to this?
Yes. Look, credit to Jean Steve in particular about the quicker processes, you know, better processes during the open part, the result of which is, like this morning, we got to the closed session and we essentially spent, what, 3/4 of an hour having morning tea. If we do the switch, if we put closed to the end of the day, and today, as in probably the last couple of meetings, we've put the closed sessions later in the day anyway, so it's just regularising what we're already doing. Okay, it's a more efficient use of our time. Point three is most significant. Also, if in the closed session the agenda is for the 10 a.m. reversion to open session, may compel us to make hasty and ill-considered decisions not properly discussed. So allowing more time for the closed session business, I think, makes sense in terms of particularly financial and personnel matters. If this is passed, I will note that the website needs changing too.
Thank you. Councillor Miller, you're the seconder.
Yes, we talked about this over 12 months ago and we decided to do it at the end of one meeting we did at the end. We had the closed session. Now, it wasn't given enough to see how we would like it, because virtually councillor said no, this is not going to work, because one of the, I think it was Graham, wasn't here at a closed session, or something happened, but anyway, but we didn't give it a try. We didn't give it a try. It was reverted back, even before we had a go at it. So, yes, let's try and make sure that we do at least 2 to 3 meetings to see how it goes. If it doesn't work, then we can revert back. But I agree with Councillor Meacham on this one, that we need to give it a try.
Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, so I would agree with David in this instance. Today's closed session would be a typical example. where we had to defer it, but it would have been more efficient use of our time if we had the closed session later in the day there at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock or whatever. And this way it would allow us to plow through quite a lot of the agenda outside of closed session before the 10 o'clock break. Yes, also, I think that was one of the issues. Vaughn is absolutely correct. Why we didn't pursue it at the time was that council employees were not available usually at that hour, or they had to be called in, go back out, and called back later for the open session for their various portions. So I think if we think about it and work on it, I think this is the way to go. It's the way to go in the future.
Thank
Just
you.
Have it at the end.
Councillor Hall?
Not speaking disrespectful to Julie, but sometimes Julie has got commitments with school bus.
Yeah.
Does it fit in Julie's criteria? I mean, that's just a question I ask.
Yeah, that's true. Mm.
That's right. Yeah.
Councillor Archer, then all right.
Would Julie like a chance to respond?
Well, I'd just leave anyway. At that time, whether I've done the in committee or not, I just like today, I've got to be left at 1 o'clock to get back to the and see the doctor about my arm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can't help that.
Yeah.
Well, Mayor, in my case, I don't really understand how it's proposed that this would be conducted. I'd just like some clarification around what's envisaged. David can't speak to it. Perhaps, Stephen, if you've how would you envisage this would work? Because what's, and I'm not sure I'm interpreting this the right way, is that instead of starting with our closed session, we would start with the open meeting. At the discretion of the chair, we would go into closed at a sensible time, but then we could revert back to the open meeting so we don't have to have the prolonged break prior to 10. Is that what we're envisaging or not?
No, I think so.
Well, can someone explain
to basically what's proposed is that the meeting itself, ordinary council meeting, would start at the 9 a.m. start time.
Yes.
We would go through to lunchtime.
Oh, I see.
And before lunch, you would end up having the closed session. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, lunch could go out to from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. So, therefore, or we could close the whole meeting by 12 o'clock. So, yeah, the real issue is that it just goes straight through.
I see.
So once we get to the end of the open session of the meeting, we go into closed. Those that are in the gallery that don't want to sit around and wait, they come at 9 a.m. Then they walk out the door before we have lunch or whatever. So
it's envisaged, just to be clear, that the closed session would occur at the end of the normal council meeting.
Correct.
I see.
Councillor Ora.
So, in relation to a question earlier, it's not about extending the length of the council meeting. No. Like, instead of having the closed session at the start, we have it at the end, the whole council meeting is the same. If someone's got to go for any sort of appointment, they'd have to go anyway. It doesn't matter whether, you know, we're not adding an extra hour to the council meeting.
The practice of having the meeting at the end is something that was done years ago. It's only been in the last, I can't think, I went through the minutes, but it's been in recent times that it's reverted back to this process. I couldn't see any reason why it was done. It was just a bang.
And would the chair still have the discretion to move that forward if necessary, in case Julie has to leave or something? It doesn't have to be held at the end, does it? Or is this motion saying it has to be held at the end? Because I'd like to see it at the discretion so that it could be brought forward so that really crucial things aren't missed by council.
I'm pretty sure the chair has the discretion to be able to move things around.
You can do that at the beginning of the meeting.
If you can do that, then it's the best of all worlds. It gives us total flexibility. That sounds like a very good
But look, the thing being is that it's up to council in the if they're discussing something and decide that we want to bring this item forward. Yeah, and if it turns out to be closed, then it's going to be 10 or 15 minutes where you're going to be enclosed.
Yes.
You just let the public know, they step out, then you open it up to the public.
Thanks very much for the clarification.
So I suppose there's some positives and negatives to this, the way I see it. And the other thing is consideration for those councillors that have to leave in early times. That's one thing, and we did throw this around a few times before, and it went back to as is now. So, I mean, I'm flexible whichever way this recommendation pans out, but there are positives and negatives, and as before was mentioned about having staff available, pardon me, is as the as councillors, all councillors had the opportunity to speak?
More or less.
Okay, so I'll go back to Councillor Meacham to close.
Just to endorse what Steve had to say, this is just about more efficient use of time, and whether we rate ordinary business or closed session business as being more significant in terms of anybody who needs to leave early, I can't actually say it. I mean, there's plenty of ordinary business I really want to be in 10 minutes for. There's plenty of closed business. I don't think that really comes into the equation. It's just a more efficient use of time. This morning was a classic example. It, by putting the open meeting first and leaving it run, it's good in terms of the public attendance, is good in terms of the media attendance. It just makes a lot more sense and gets us home. For those of us who don't travel 5 minutes but travel, you know, 90, the efficient use of time is a good consideration.
There's only one downside. Well, Damien might have to get up early.
Yeah, wasn't it?
I might miss lunch.
All righty, I will recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand and I will record Councillor Allwright, Miller, Archer, Meacham, Cassidy, Bailey and Hall. Those against, Councillor Honour and Trivett. Me. Thank you. So that goes through. That's carried through. 7-2. Rightio. 11-3 is a motion by Councillor Cassidy, who has moved. Could I have a seconder, please, for that motion? Councillor Hall. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to that?
Thanks, John. As you can see from the background details, 6 years ago we had an accident in the same place and for the same reasons, and people just blasting through that intersection there of High Street and William Street. William Street, as you know, connects from the center of Bothwell right out past the recreation grounds and then continues onto a Hollow Tree Road. So it's a main thoroughfare that gets a lot of vehicular traffic, at least a couple of hundred cars or more a day, and on the weekends, you know, we have motorcycles, and I've seen those guys doing wheelies all the way down William Street. And if anybody who is living in Bothwell or going back to Bothwell or driving to Bothwell in the near future, look just outside the rec grounds on the bitumen there, just past the apron, and you'll see a long, very long burnout, and that occurred on Saturday. So they're well above the speed limit there on William Street. All sorts of vehicles in both directions, even though currently it's 50. But I'm proposing to give the people that are driving on William Street either direction a chance to see and avoid any vehicles that are coming across the intersection at High Street. Now, this person that was involved in the accident that caused the accident, I've actually seen him in his pickup truck speeding easily 50 kilometers per hour right through the intersection, would not even pause at the give way sign. There could be a dog, a child, and in fact, right on the corner there of High and William is a child and a dog who live there at that residence. So I think if we put a stop sign there, the stop sign would at least give them pause to consider. And perhaps also we should consider an education campaign. Maybe in the digest we could suggest that folks who leave their vehicles outside subject to frost, they scrape the windscreens. All it requires is a plastic paint scraper about 2 inches wide. Leave in the glove box and clean your windscreens, front and the sides and so forth. You know, or if you're not going to do that, then at least roll the windows down. I don't know. This, if you think about the fellows that that came, that were involved in the accident, it was two older gentlemen driving a very nice pickup truck, a gray pickup truck, fairly a late model vehicle. They drove all the way down from Deloraine through Bothwell, out Williams Street, intending to go to New Norfolk to work on their property there, and got smashed into this cowboy that just, you know, he just didn't care about anybody but himself.
So we'll get back to the the recommendation about the stop signs. Mm. So, Councillor Hall, you're the seconder. Any comment?
Well, Mayor, I don't think we're ever going to put a sign there to fix stupidity. That's just my opinion. I've looked at this intersection when I've seen this notice of motion. I don't think it matters whether you put stop signs there. I don't think it's going to fix the issue. That's just my opinion. I think this has been just driver not being alert enough and preparing themselves before they get up in the morning. I mean, if you're going to drive around with a hole in the windscreen that big, your visibility is going to be nil. And I think if we put a stop sign there, reduce the speed limit, I don't think it's going to fix the driver's problem. But this is a driver. No, this is a driver issue here. I wouldn't say it's the intersection that's the issue. It's driver.
Thank you, Councillor Meacham, then on it.
Look, I'm very supportive of having a stop sign on both sides of the High Street intersection. If nothing else, Castle Hall, and give the police the opportunity to observe and start ticketing people who don't support it. I'm not supportive of the reduction to 40k. Now, we've got 50k along Patrick Street because it's a shopping zone. It's justified as a shopping zone. I can't see State Growth approving a 40k. Along the stretch of road, there's 7 driveways. So just looking at Google Earth here, including yours, Councillor Cassidy, and also the sports ground, 7, and one of those 7 is hardly used, I noticed. So yes, I'm supportive of the stop sign. By all means, give it a try, an application for reduction to 40k, but I can't see it succeeding. It wouldn't be congruent with the main road provisions, and it certainly wouldn't qualify as a shopping zone.
Councillor Honour,
I drive that road twice a day. You cannot see by the give way. You have to stop. This person, someone stepped out in front of them over the river. And someone else was in the vehicle with him. He said, "What should I do? Run over him." And he said, "No, if I was you, I'd stop." He was doing 90 kilometres an hour along Shore Street, which is 50 kilometres an hour. And he got threatened.
This sounds an important issue here. Councillor Miller.
The stop signs are good in the fact that the wheels of the car actually have to stop. And as Councillor Meacham said, it would give the police that opportunity then to monitor that. But the 40-kilometre zone, if they're not, if they're not driving at 50, they're not going to go down to 40. My idea then is to put a hump on either side, so that they have to slow down to get to that to get to that intersection. You've got to make them slow down, and a 40-kilometre zone won't do it, but humps will. Especially if you're doing high enough. But yeah, I agree with the stop signs. If we can get the police involved in enough to go up there and monitor it. But as Councillor Honour said, it's the guy that it's this driver that we need to give.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor
Alright, then Archie. So I think I want to capture that my view is waiting ink and air molecules trying to deal with state growth over a 40-kilometre zone. It's a driver issue.
Thank you. Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I'd like to speak in support of the motion. I agree with what Jim's just said. I think that the stop signs can only be positive. But I know that once we start dealing with state growth, the chance of them changing any speed limits is that chance of me winning tax lot, and I don't buy tickets. I'm in favour of the motion, but I just don't believe we'll get it up.
Yeah. We can always put it forward as in the middle of 40 k's. It can only be refused.
I think it's a well considered motion.
I think so. All righty. Any other councillors? Okay, Councillor Cassidy, you can close the debate.
Well, I would certainly accept putting stop signs there and deleting the 40-kilometre per hour speed limit change, if everybody would agree to that. I'm more than happy to accept that concession. It would... By the way, I just wanted to say I've driven it at both 40 and 50, and it only takes 18 seconds of their life. So, you know, just slow down that. But anyway, if you could just bless putting the stop signs there, I think it would give a chance for any vehicles coming down or up William Street to avoid a collision.
Thank you. And I think if we just leave the motion as is, the recommendation, and I'll put that recommendation forward now. And a raise of hands, please, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands.
Councillor Aura?
No.
Okay, so those in favour are Councillor Miller, Archer, Meacham, Cassidy, Bailey, and Triffitt. Those against? Councillor All right, Honour and Hall. So that goes through.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Put the rates up to pay for the ink, I reckon.
Should we get a supplement?
Yeah. That's at the end.
You put it at the end?
Yep. Okay, so 12 is Council Acting Planning Authority, that's nil. Ordinary Council meeting resume, not required. 14th is the monthly nil on elected members' activities. You will have read all those. Mayoral announcement, the order received in the mail is a card to the Mayor, Councillors, GMs and all the teams at Hamilton and Vossel. Thank you very much for everything from Ostley Church and Cemetery. So I think they're very much appreciated, Council support and what we do for Ostley. So that was... It's nice to get some credit sometimes, isn't it?
Mayor, a question over the month.
Where
is that? 14, monthly mayoral and elected members' activities.
I haven't got anything.
14?
No?
There it is.
Beg pardon. Okay, recommendation move, please. Oh, I've got a lot of hands there. I think Councillor Meacham and Miller.
You want to ask a question?
Yeah.
I'll go to Councillor Meacham as the mover first.
Mayor, can I get you please to expand on and what was discussed with Alex Heroes, and also what was the matter? I missed the ABC interview. If you can give us some detail on that.
Yeah, normally you really should ask prior to the meeting and I can give you a comprehensive report, but I can just fill you in on that. ABC was a telephone call, and I spoke with the general manager to give an update about the tyres that were dumped. What was the other thing you asked me?
Alice Heroes.
He came and wanted to have a chat to me, and he came and have a chat, and I've invited him to council.
Does he have any...
Just to give you an update.
Okay, and the embargo report, was that discussed?
No, we didn't really discuss anything in detail about that, and he wanted to see me about a personal thing as well, so it was two things that happened. It was just a catch-up, a cover. But I've invited him to council. I hope that clarifies that one. Councillor Millie, you're the seconder.
That's what I was going to ask about the ABC, because I kind of missed the ABC.
No, they kept ringing, and then I spoke with Stephen and got some up-to-date information and spoke back with them.
Do you want to ask a question?
Yeah. Tony?
Now, councillors?
Yeah.
Councillor Bailey?
Has Malcolm Hill been given a thank you for his donation to the church?
Malcolm Hill?
No.
I don't know. Do
you think we should?
I think we're supposed
to. Well, there you go.
I'm not up to date with this, what's happening.
He made it quite clear to me that he didn't want anything, and he didn't want even the receipt. Well, I sent him the receipt. Just as a courtesy, because he gave it to me in cash.
He didn't want thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Can I ask a question?
It's done now, but that's fine.
Can I ask a question? Was that a donation?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anonymous.
Obviously, it's been a anonymous donation, is that correct?
Correct. Yes. Well, sort of anonymous.
Yeah.
Sort of now. Okay, Councillor
Cassidy. Yes, I think it still would be appropriate to send the gentleman a receipt.
He's got that.
That's good, you know, for tax purposes, if nothing else.
Yes, that's happened apparently. Alrighty, so for that recommendation, those in favour, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against it? That is carried. Very good. Now we've jumped to 15 now, don't we? Yep. 15 is the operational matters arising. 15.1 is the health and wellbeing plan, the monthly progress report. A mover, please. Councillor Honour. Seconder, Councillor Miller. What was it?
You don't need to catch. I didn't say I'd message her to come in.
That's fine at this point in time.
Moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Miller. Councillor Honour, do you have any comments about that report?
I only want to ask a few things about the Anzac Days.
Oh, is that why we wanted Cathy in?
Yes.
Ms.
Catabone? Yeah, she's about,
yeah. Okay.
She's in the office.
So Cat will come in about the Anzac Day. We had some very good feedback from Gretna. Boffa was good feedback. What about Hamilton? Okay. Arthur's Lakes?
Really good.
Okay.
Excellent.
Did you go to any council meeting?
Yes, I went to Bronte and I went to Myena.
Okay.
And Bronte was a really great event. That was the dawn service.
Yeah.
Went down the night before rather than braving all the wildlife on the Marlborough Road in particular. So went down and stayed with a friend. It was a good occasion.
Very good.
And well attended too. I guess 40 people. Yeah.
But
Myena, when Kat's in attendance, I'll have a comment.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We had good attendance at Gretna. We had a good attendance here at Hamilton. The service was good. But again, I've got quite a few complaints about the lunchtime at the Hamilton Inn. People weren't happy. The food ran out two or three times. The only thing that was free to drink was cans of cordial, and coffee and tea you had to go and buy. So considering we gave them money, I feel that wasn't good enough, and we need to deal with that. So whether we deal with it when Kat's here?
I move for a suspension of standing order so that both of us can speak again. When Kat attends, is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Got a second.
Okay, Councillor Meacham's move for standing orders. Councillor Orr's second.
In favour?
In favour.
That's good.
Morning, Kat.
Hi.
Okay.
Come and join us, please.
Morning.
Yes, we'll put you in the hot seat for a while.
Mayor, with the standing orders suspended, can I just thank everyone who sent me photos from Anzac Day? Much appreciated. We put them on the website and some of the paper.
Yes, thank you.
And thanks for the coverage too, Damien. Yes, it was good. I enjoyed looking at the gallery.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Damien, for that.
Thanks.
Okay, back to where we are. Yes, suspended. Major Morat. And that was carried. Alrighty. Kat, we're just discussing Anzac, and first of all, thank you for all you do. There are a couple of issues that councillors wanted to raise to do with Anzac.
Yep.
Gretton was brilliant, thank you. Bothell was good, but that was more Joanne.
Yep.
And... we have some councillors with some questions. Good morning.
I'm sorry I'm late. I'll just stop.
That's all right. Yeah. That's okay. We won't be long. Councillor Miller, you have some questions.
Yes, the service was great. This is the Hamilton.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I had quite a few complaints about the lunch. Mm-hmm. People were... I suppose they're used to having John and Gina do the barbecue, mm-hmm. the sausages and hamburgers and everything else. The only drink that they had for free was cans of cordial.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else you had to pay for, including tea and coffee. So you had to go to the cafe to get that, which wasn't good enough. Even if it was only instant tea there, instant coffee and the tea bags, that would have been better than nothing. They ran out of food. It seems that he was doing food finger food, but they were running out of food to the extent where instead of the little party pies, he was bringing out the normal pies. Yeah, a lot of people complained about that. So I think we need, considering that the council pay, for a lot of this, that we need to look into it. And probably try and see if we can do better for next year.
So where did they have the barbecue?
They didn't have
one. No,
John and Jenny used to have it just out the front.
Out the front.
So there was always, not saying I'm not saying that theirs was the best, but it was, people were asking where the sausages were, where the barbecue was. And they always had, and then there was at one stage there was a free beer or a free cider, but there was always free tea and coffee. There was sandwiches or cakes and stuff in the other room, but people were complaining about having to pay for the drinks and the coffee and tea. I'd noticed that the first couple of years that I've been here with the service, we had our service program, and on that program was a little ticket that gave you either one free beer or one free cider.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that maybe that could be resurrected at some stage if it was appropriate, but we need to look into that.
Okay, Councillor Bailey, you had something to say about
it. I've had quite a few phone calls, as I said to Jim. Jim.
Yeah,
all right.
I have comments on the
dump.
I'll talk
to
next.
Well, they've probably 10 or a dozen since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, complaining about the sausages. They always seem to have a sausage sizzle, and which they have. I mean, I can go back for years, and it's always been there. Probably. I think we should next year think ahead and definitely have a sausage sizzle, because now there's probably the same people that Sask Ebon, or it's probably not the same people. So we're probably looking at 20 people, you know, we could be.
Yeah.
Which is quite a bit. So, yeah, that's just all I wanted to say. But I mean, and as far as those people paying for their coffees and teas, we've paid that fella.
Correct.
For his food and his, you know, so I think that's a little bit too far-fetched somehow. Well,
that's brought to mind too, I don't know whether you remember, Gina always had a container of mix-up cordial on the bar, and it was always free for the kids.
Yeah, and the whiskey too, didn't
you? Alright, Councillor, alright, you were there.
No, I think it's mostly been said, but we did some number crunching over Smoko, and sausage costs 50 cents. It's going to be a lot better value for money than for council to do a to get a sausage sizzle than,
yeah, mate.
And free tea and coffee at the minimum, and a bit of sauce.
You said
and a slice of bread, 5 cents.
Maybe get lunch job. Councillor
Nathan? Kat, congratulations on such a good organisation over the day. I've communicated to you my concerns about the conduct of the Great Lake Community Centre one. I arrived at 9 o'clock, the place was locked. Mm-hmm. The President showed up at about 11:15, mm-hmm. said, oh no, it doesn't start until 11. Went back at 11, nothing happening. Mm-hmm. I would be very hesitant about in funding of the event next year, unless there's solid undertakings that things will actually happen.
That was actually on the list, Councillor Meacham, because I've had complaints about that, and so has Councillor Honour.
Yeah.
She might like to add to that as well. We were approached at the Boswell Anzac Service about the Great Lake.
Yes, yes. Those people arrived at 9 o'clock as I did.
Mm. And apparently on the day, all they done was put on one tray of sausages. That was it. I think they were paid a little bit more than that.
Councillor Cassidy, then Hall.
Yes, Kat. I attended the Bothwell service, and two comments I would like to make. Whoever uses the microphone, they need to hold it closer to their mouth. Mm-hmm. The warrant officer there, he's an excellent public speaker, but he held the microphone so far away from his mouth that we couldn't hear him up against the fence, while other speakers, including Mr. Keith Elcock, he, you know, is frail, his voice is frail, but he held the microphone close and we could hear him well. The other comment that I would like to make is that I was disappointed that Tasmania Police didn't have at least one constable there. Not that we're a bunch of rowdies there in Bothwell, but the Tasmania Police, they put their lives on the line every day, you know, and I think if nothing else, of course, while it's, you know, about the Anzacs and so forth and all of the soldiers who have fallen, these guys are soldiers on a daily basis, and I think it would have been great if we had at least one Tasmania Police constable in attendance.
Thank you.
Could I just clarify, Councillor, do you mean for them to be in attendance?
I'm sorry.
Are you saying for them to be in attendance at Bothwell?
Yes.
Or for them to be in attendance at one of the services? In particular Bothwell?
This is the first Anzac Day ceremony that I've attended that there wasn't a Tasmania Police constable there. I looked around and I was disappointed, actually.
Mm. Mm. Yes,
that
normally is. Councillor Hall, then,
Honour. Police were at Gretna.
Yeah. Mm.
Have we contributed monies to the Great Lake community?
Monies contributed, right?
Right, no, that's right. So
the refund wouldn't be a bad idea.
That's what I'm just sort of thinking.
Look after those reserves.
I think this year was because of the passing of Andy Besant, who always represented the police in that.
Yeah.
I think it was probably a little bit too close for Karen, when Karen was there, that they left it for this year and they'll continue it next year.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Archer.
Mary, I'd like to reiterate what Robert said. I thought it was very disappointing that Tasmania Police didn't have a representative there. Normally they stop the traffic, it can be noisy, we've had all sorts of trouble in periods of, for instance, silence with cars driving through and causing mayhem. And I'd encourage the Tasmania Police to send a representative of the Boswell Service every year. I presumed it was just part of their practice, but obviously it's not. And it was disappointing to me to see that that didn't happen. But also, I couldn't understand the traffic control. Normally that's been done by volunteer groups, yes, or Lions and others, and yet there was organised traffic control this year, and I wondered why that change occurred. Clearly there's going to be a cost in that. And perhaps it was to free up council staff, or perhaps it was to free up the volunteers, or I just don't know why that change occurred.
Yes, Councillor Hall and Honour.
Well, I think Honour was first, Mayor.
Councillor Honour, then Hall, okay.
The volunteers actually got abused because they're not qualified for traffic control.
Yeah.
So that's why the traffic controllers do it now, not the volunteer groups.
And that was the decision of?
The groups.
The groups.
Right.
Yeah, because they've got abused for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Councillor Hall?
I thought it was a requirement we had to get independent traffic people to stop the traffic. I don't think just anybody can do it now.
No.
I think it's got to be...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you answer that?
Can you
acting GM?
Look, the thing being is, yeah, correct.
Mm.
Correct. Righto. Councillor Honour, you mentioned the Great Lake Community Centre as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was over the that they didn't do much food or anything like that.
Nothing.
okay, so then that's...
And did Arthurs get anything?
Arthurs were requested if they wanted it when I was communicating with them, because we didn't fund them last year. And
yes,
so I just had an open conversation with them saying that communities such as Bentonbury had received council support before, and they said, no, thank you, we're fine, we're happy for you just to attend.
Yeah.
So the ones that we did, other than the ones that we paid for ourselves, such as at Hamilton here and at Gretna, where we paid the pubs, and Castle Hotel, we paid the pubs to put on, you know, gave them a set amount, and then they provided the breakfast or the lunch. We also supported Bronte, Fentonbury and Great Lake Community Centre were the smaller communities that we provided $500 to across the board, the same amount.
Okay. I just wanted to ask how much we paid, if I can, considering it's an open session, for Hamilton.
For Hamilton, it was $20 a head, I believe, and it was 100 people. Oh, can I get back to you on that about this, exactly where that landed? I think it was around $20. And so with that, that was what it was. So when I started and I went and spoke last year when I did my first, stop me, Mary, if I'm kind of going into things too much, but last year when I went and spoke to Gina and I spoke to the new management over here, spoke to Doug and said, what would you normally put on for Anzac Day? And so from that, that's kind of what was provided last year. Last year there was tea and coffee provided. I definitely know that because I had one. And then the alcohol is a separate conversation. But it was largely, I guess, based on what had been done in previous years. And I didn't have anything to eat this year, so I can't actually comment myself. But I'll definitely take that on board around those discussions with Doug for next year.
Yeah. So you'll give back to the day?
Yeah.
No, well,
with a figure.
So,
yep.
So 20 bucks a head for 100 people is 2 grand. I'm just, sorry I'm interrupting you.
Yes,
I'm just going to crunch it enough.
It was around that, but if I just like to take that on board.
Yeah, thanks for letting us
know. Councillor Cassidy, thank you for
much
waiting.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
If you can.
I wanted to say, I don't think that we should abuse the community center in Miami too badly. The last couple of times I've been to the community center, they put on one heck of a nice spread, mm-hmm. and all of the volunteers up there were so polite and just generous. So I think maybe if there was a failure, then I think maybe we should ask how or why.
Yeah.
You know, there might have been a miscommunication, or there might have been some, you know, factor that, you know, prevented them from meeting our expectations. Maybe our expectations were too high. But the last time, a couple of times I've been to the community center there for various things going on, I thought that what they did was excellent. And I think that should be recognized.
Okay, thank you. Well, Kat prepares a draft thank you letter, and for most, everyone that we have supported, as I say, Gretna was very good, Boswell was very good, we have a few issues with Hamilton. Westaway, Bittenberry was good, wasn't it, Councillor?
Yeah, no, that was all run pretty well.
Who caters to that, Westaway Hall?
They did. Hall, that's the volunteer group. Cafe, that had they had a sausage, egg and bacon roll.
Yeah.
A sausage, yeah.
And Arthur's was fine, Councillor Honor.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yes.
So I think it must be a personal choice what they do, but I think what I'm picking up is that most people seem to want, most of the attendees want something, want a snag or a hamburger.
Mm. Okay, and the only one that I see a question mark is Great Lake Community Centre.
Yeah.
And what would council like to do about that?
Well, going back to what I said earlier, getting a clear understanding from them about what they're doing next year. You know,
so Kat's got it in here to review. So just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Are you happy for Kat to handle that?
She's a community engagement officer.
Yeah, definitely. And that's just
the people were there at 9:00.
Do you want that clarification like now around what happened, or do you want that like clarification moving forward for the event next year if we're involved?
Probably both, actually, Kat. Yep. So look for an explanation this time round, and then next year look for clear, solid undertakings about what will happen and when.
Yeah. And I have spoken to them and asked them. I didn't drill down, I just sort of gave an overview of what happened on the day, and I do know that there's some changes going on there, and my feeling is that that's somehow involved in small community organisations, people falling out with each other, whatever's happening, and those people not being there on the day. I've also got a figure for what we, thanks Katrina, which was we spent $1,500 in total at the bar. It wasn't 2,000, it must have been $15 a head at 1826 Hamilton.
Councillor Cassidy,
you know, Kat, insofar as these failures and so forth that we experienced this Anzac Day, this is the role that council can play in this. Is we should be providing leadership. You know, that's what we were elected for anyway, it was leadership. But since you're facilitating all of this, perhaps you could be the captain of the team. You know what I'm saying? Leadership.
In terms of doing for
well, setting our expectations.
Yes.
We're giving you X dollars.
Yep.
This is what we want.
Yep.
This is what time we want you to be there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Leadership.
Yep.
And it needs to also be investigated. The PA system at Boswell's terrible.
Yes, ma'am. Maybe we need to replace it.
And we do. We should. Councillor Hall.
And I think I might spoke to you about this, Mayor. The gate at the end of the park.
You did.
People cannot open that gate. Wouldn't mind a dollar for every time somebody went to it couldn't open it.
Jason has.
I think Jason was on to that, wasn't he?
He's working on it now.
I think it was Terry.
And the flagpole needs painting, which should have been done before. Yes.
Yes, Ben, that's it.
Very good. All righty. Any questions, Council?
No, thank you. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And as I say, you did a wonderful job all round.
Mayor, I move to invoke standing orders again.
To resume standing orders.
To resume, sorry, thank you.
Yes, seconded by Councillor Cassidy. Those in favour? Raise your hands, please. Yes, is Councillor Archer got his hand up, has he?
Yes.
Okay. Carried.
Oh, can I also suggest that we
move we'll move the agenda in there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, mine as well. We've been through your report, and so quite clearly we've got a motion, mover and seconder to adopt the your report.
We've got a mover and a seconder.
Yeah, we have. Now we need to.
Yeah. What are we moving now? The report?
Yep.
Okay. It was moved by.
We're moving this one.
Moved by Honour, second by Councillor Miller.
Just say yes, please.
Accept the report. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? No, that is carried. And we need to have a mover to move. Is that all, Cap?
I think so.
Yes. Move the agenda back to the presentations. Could I, do we have a mover for that? No. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor, all right.
Can I also move, Mayor, that we spend standing orders in case the Councillor wants to ask the question? Is that the way to do that?
Is it? It's probably easier to ask questions at the end of the presentation.
Mm. Okay. So those in favour of that recommendation, raise your hands. Anyone against? Right, that is carried. Very good. Now we say welcome, Eve.
Hi, everyone.
How are you?
Thank you. Is that okay?
Yes, we're at 10.3 now.
Great. I bought some copies of our nature repair plan pilot pitch that we boldly gave to the Rebecca White, and we actually talked to Susie Bauer as well. So before the election, we decided that we were going to ask for something. Yeah, significant. So basically what's happening around Australia at the moment is there's international protocols, sort of agreements, that are asking for this thing called 30 by 30 targets, which is 30% restoration with 30% increased investment to undertake that restoration. And this is all to do with biodiversity and the issues that we're facing globally with climate and biodiversity loss and climate change. So the 30 by 30 targets, we're really well placed in Tasmania because the other 30 is protection of areas. Of course, in Tasmania, we've got like 47% of our land is national parks. So the other two targets, so we tried to tie this pitch to this new world, the way that people are speaking now about nature repair, natural capital, so there's lots of language. So just don't worry about the language too much. The idea is it's about land management and restoration, and so we decided that we would try something bold this time, and we asked for $20 million over 3 years. And what we are trying to pilot is doing a plan for the Derwent catchment. So it's essentially like a catchment plan, but it's called something different and a bit more snazzy to fit in with the language that's happening globally and nationally. So it's a plan that says things like, where are our priorities in the catchment? So rivers, obviously. High value conservation areas, pastoral lands that have got remnant vegetation, and we say where would we do this work and what kind of projects would we put up this money would allow us to do all the planning, working with landowners and others and other land managers, for example, the Tasmanian business government enterprises like Hydro and Forestry. And then we would say, this is like a portfolio, if you like, of projects that we could do. And we've got $10 billion, so we can kickstart some of the projects. Then the other part of the pie is putting together an investment proposal for this nature repair market, which the Australian government has heavily invested in. The Australian government's currently sort of setting up the architecture, if you like, for a nature repair market, which means, like, certificates, like you trade biodiversity certificates. You do something on your property, say you've got weeds, you've got some nice veg, but it needs a little bit of help. That help costs X dollars. Who pays for that? Someone invests in that and buys it, like a biodiversity ticket, like certificate. A little bit like the carbon market, but they're still working out how to do it. So it's all emerging, but we've just decided to raise the profile of the Derwent catchment, offer an opportunity to do a pilot so that it's a national pilot. So this is how you could do nature repair. This is how you tie it to the Australian government's commitments. Mm. They want to make it happen, but everyone's sitting on the sidelines waiting for something to happen, and the Australian government needs to invest in it a little bit first to get behind it. So we are pretty excited because Rebecca White got in, and that means for us that we have a $10 million promise. Now we have to extract it out of them. which of course is
she's always prepared,
right? She's exactly. So the thing though, she understands that this, like, the Australian government has invested a lot of money in this nature repair pilot, like, market that they're trying to establish. This gives them a way to present how you can do it. So we've been doing restoration for a very long time and working in land management, and essentially it's just the same thing, it's called something different. So we wanted to just let you know today where it's at, and that is where we're at. We're in the phase where we're saying, okay, Rebecca, how do we go forward and extract this money? But we wanted to highlight that this is so important because you guys have invested in us for years, and that leverage that you've provided has not gone unnoticed. So the state government know that you've been supporting us and that we've been building our project and the works over the last 10 years. Obviously, we've got the Clyde River. That's still, we're still waiting for a grant deed for that, but it's very close, I'm told, weekly. Kat and I have been in emails going, is it here yet? So that's a $1.97 million project. And so if we had a project like that in the mix for this nature repair pilot, an example, a good example would be the Ouse River. So remember the flood, obviously big floods, 2016. And then we had like only $375,000 to try and help people deal with the mess that that caused at the time. And so we did a bit of work, but we didn't do the whole river. And it was an awesome opportunity to do the whole river. So a project like that we would put up under the nature repair pilot would be the Ouse River. So it's already had investment, we've got all the landowners on board, we need Hydro on board because they've got a lot of stuff at the top which needs work. So the money is like putting it into the pot. So you guys put money into the pot, others do, the other councils do, the other land managers can, and then we build it, and we also offer a portfolio for investment from other people such as corporates and other, you know, industry around the world who are looking to buy credits. Does that make sense? It's a little bit of a new and unusual market. That's just, and new markets are complicated. New markets take 25 to 30 years to settle. So we it is going to be a kind of a weird spell while people, because there's people trying to write methods for monitoring evaluation everywhere, trying to make it cheap and easy. It's just difficult at the moment. So there's lots of stuff, but we can do all of this work because we've been doing it. We're ecologists and we can do the work. So we've already got a very straightforward platform by which we can do the work, and we just need to show the way of how to do it.
Councillor Cassidy and Meacham have a question for you, eh?
Yeah, sure.
Councillor Cassidy.
Good morning. Thanks for your efforts on our behalf. You'd agree that we councillors are advocates. We can serve as advocates. And I was thinking that if you could put together some formed letter, perhaps one of the things that I do and I enjoy doing is pestering politicians.
Yeah.
I write to them. I call them.
That's a good thing to be able to do. Yeah, it'd be really good to have, if we need some support, which we may do, I think, We've already sent a letter to Rebecca, but obviously the dust needs to settle a little bit.
Yes.
But if we do get staff, we'll definitely be calling on you to try and help us shove this along a little, because we all know what happens. They get busy and... we're not expecting any money for 18 months. We're realists, but we really do want to see that coming in as soon as possible. So thank you. That would be really helpful.
I'm happy to write.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Councillor Beecham.
Jim, did you want to move for suspension? So
I can do, because I think it's a better
conversation,
better forum to get some discussion. Sorry, Steve. So I'll move that we suspend standing orders.
Second by Councillor Cassidy. Those in favour of that, moving for standing orders. Okay. Thank you. Did you get that?
Because there's a lot of money here at stake and a lot of environmental impact and potential environment that will flow through economically to agriculture. It's important that councillors are aware.
Yeah.
And it comes in, you opened up about the Clyde River restoration, but there's no money left. Have you sort of talked to contractors? Have you got a contractor waiting?
No, we just need to get the deed, and then we're going to organise to meet with all the landowners, and we're going to talk about what we can do for the money, but also see if landowners can co-contribute, whether it's in-kind machinery support or other bits and pieces, just to see what's available in terms of who can do things.
Have the catchment got the resources to start that talking process now?
No, we will as soon as we get the money.
So that puts it back another 6 months.
No, it has. We're 3 months. We're more like 6 months behind, because they just haven't come back with a contract. Because it's the Australian government. So once we do, we'll kick start. But it'll all just keep going.
Particularly still 3 years or whatever.
It's a 3 year project from signing the deed.
From the time we get.
We should be a week away. So the idea is to meet with all the landowners to talk about the project, to see what we can leverage, to come up with a plan. So it'll be a property by property plan. And then we see what we can get done. There'll be machinery, but there'll also be a lot of drilling and filling. So
one of those landowners will be the council here.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Councillor Miller, you had your hand up.
I hope this is not going off track, but you were talking about the weeds and farmers, if they get rid of weeds, then they can.
Well, this is the idea. I mean, the thing with these projects is they're often going to need scale. So the thing is that we're trying to aggregate, which is like if you've got farms here and farms here and they've got lots of vegetation that needs improvement, you can make a bigger project by working together.
Yeah.
So if part of the plan is to show where we can build projects, and essentially it's like a real estate portfolio. You say these are all on offer.
One of the things that gets me is that... we talk about the Scotch thistles, and they're not a noxious. They're not recommended.
No, they're a minor problem.
I've seen them when they're 5 foot tall.
No, I get it.
Each flower can reproduce 20,000 seeds. And I've noticed my next door neighbour now has removed theirs, and I've noticed a vast difference in my property.
Yeah.
So is there, when you talk about the weeds and everything, is there scope there to be able to, and you talk about getting together as farmers, scope there with not only the Scotch thistles but other plants that aren't recognised as noxious weeds, to be able to do something with them?
Yeah, I mean, technically, yes. Like, we're talking about just improved land management. So whatever that may be, weed management, or any kind of weed, whether it's an environmental weed or a Wands weed or a declared weed or not, the idea is that you're just looking to show the change of improved land management. So you start with a baseline, so weeds, and then you work to removing that and changing it and getting better ground cover and introducing, more shrubs or changing the environment so that it's in a better condition. And as long as you can show that you've done that, then you can essentially sell that as a biodiversity credit. But there's methods that go along with this stuff, and it's all very tightly. It's not just like you can make some stuff up and go off and do it. There's methods that the Australian government are working on to show a clear way of doing this work. So what we're allowed to do will be guided by the method slightly. Yeah.
Councillor Meacham, then Cassidy.
I know you're working with Kath, and that's great. Is there anything further that council could be or should be doing at this stage?
No, look, it's a bit of a waiting game, but just having you guys we just wanted to explain the project and it's really exciting, because as you all know, we've been squirreling away at you for 10 years, actually 11, coming up this October. And it just takes a lot of time to get traction, and so the council relationship with the other councils and everyone investing has now got us to this point where it's pretty exciting. We can get $10 million for the catchment and we can showcase what we can do nationally. That's pretty great, Central Highlands and Derwent Valley to have this national stage. So I think we're pretty excited about it. It's just going to be having your support if it gets to the point where we're trying to go, excuse me, can we have the money you promised? So having you guys on board for that would be really helpful.
Need a letter of support.
And I mean, they know that, you know, you guys have been supporting us and that this is a really great project. That's why they gave us the money, because they can see the value, and also because we're tying it to the national objectives and the national, I mean, this is a national commitment internationally. So the Australian government has signed up internationally to do this work, the 30 by 30 targets. And so we are essentially just plugging into that and showing them how to do it.
Very good. Councillor Cassidy.
Well, Yvonne had brought up about re-management on smaller properties away from the river, but I'd like to explore stormwater runoff and your experience. Stormwater runoff as well as airborne would transport weeds
seeds
and so forth.
Generally, vectors for weed dispersal, the biggest one, to be honest with you, is the roads. So the road network is the biggest vector for moving weeds around. Any machinery that's working along roadsides or going through other people's property and then moving somewhere else with weeds, that's probably the biggest vector. Then, of course, you've got water and wind, and then animals where seeds attach to animals and move around. So there's a few ways, but... I think, to be honest with you, the biggest impacts we have is that growth network.
It's a complex, it's really, with these various vectors that you have mentioned, it's really a complex problem. And so let's say all of the repair work that you would do, let's say just $1.97 million on the Clyde plus participation from landowners, if we don't somehow address the other vectors such as stormwater runoff and weeds along roads and so forth. If we don't address those, then basically you'll recontaminate the river.
We do have a biosecurity. So part of the work we're talking about was river restoration and then a biosecurity program. So we've already got a biosecurity program looking at how we can improve that, working with farms on farm biosecurity, but also, you know, washdown stations and other things like that. And then working with farmers. And then we've also got, you know, some threatened species / conservation components. But it'll be a multifaceted approach, and part of that is biosecurity. It's just a difficult one. We do need washdown stations, but that's something we've investigated and done a fee, proposed like a sort of viability business case for them. Having some strategic washdown stations would be really good. But ultimately, the Biosecurity Act says that, you know, this general biosecurity duty is everyone's responsibility to be managing biosecurity at their property level and their business level. So it is working with people to try and improve practice. But then, you know, we've got the government doing things which are not like, you know, the state growth, for example, will go off and do road construction works without dealing with the weeds that are on the land. Mm-hmm. And then ask it to be part of a priority weed program later on when they've already done some spreading around. So there's some fundamental flaws in the way that the state behaves.
So are you communicating with the state growth?
We've been doing that for 10 years.
Right.
It's just the way that they set up their processes. We don't really have much influence on that because it's very much a state government, you know, MO.
Well, thank you, Eve. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Oral.
So, Eve, are there any other programs that you do that you think council should get a bit of an update on? I know you do a monthly report. I was going to say, we went up to Taralea probably think 3 weeks ago, and all that broom and it almost from our boundary up past the Broad, Blackberry Gorse.
Yeah.
And it's been a great program, and it's starting to get very visible. And that charity around, that was a forest of broom.
Yes, it was. The boys have hit that.
And,
So we've got upcoming, the Weed Action Fund is back out. So that's a state government initiative. I think it's $1.9 million, and we're applying for 5 out of the 6 programs. So it's sort of the tender process. So Envirodynamics is going to tender for pretty well 5 out of the 6, which for us will see orange hawkweed continue. And we'll still be working on the broom, because that's a
I know, you can see some patches of this, odd little bit.
Yeah, there's still lots to do, but we've also got all the stakeholders on board to commit to that, to keep going with it. So there's lots of activity still happening. At the moment, we're doing a lot of work on the Glendhu Sorrel down in the Derwent, because that's a program that they're working on down there. And so we're just really looking forward to starting the Clyde as soon as we can get that deep. But that'll that'll be the next big thing for the Central Highlands. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's been lots of weed work. We'll still continue pushing. The plan is up for a renewal. So this will be the third iteration of the Central Highlands Weed Management Plan. So we're really kicking goals on that. We're all moving in the right direction, and everyone's starting to comment that the roads are starting to look a lot cleaner.
Now, we're getting that really from everywhere. Follow-up is important. And seeing this as a rural council, is there anything in the ag space that we should know about?
Peter Ball's working, he's got a 4-year project working with farmers again, so that's really great. So he's been doing the pasture, going out doing pasture walks and talks on the 3 demonstration sites that we've had for 4 years. So for context, we've got a really awesome trial that we've been now, this is like the 5th year of the trial, which is all about what pasture species and cultivars do best in this environment. So we've got some up here in Bothwell, and we've also got one in Caywood and then one down in the valley. Peter's been monitoring those for many years now, and we're getting really interesting information from those about which species do best in our local environment for farmers, and they're all very interested in that. So there's a walk and talk coming up this week where the farmers are going to meet Peter and go over what's happening with the trial. So there's lots of stuff in the ag space that's still ticking along with Peter out there. And I'm doing some workshops that are coming up as well around emissions, carbon and biodiversity, what's happening with that. So there's lots of things.
Okay, we need to tidy up, Cassidy.
Yeah, Cassidy.
I just have one more
question. Yeah, sure.
In Bothwell, for example, you see certain farmers there employing crop dusters to spray their fields and so forth. Is there some weed control that would not be toxic to humans that they could perhaps spray over area, like over towns and so forth?
Well, not over towns, but no, not over towns, but they do use, on the slopes, there's farmers who have sprayed on, Garlon and stuff like that, the Hawhound and things like that. So they do use aerial spray on some circumstances, but you can't really safely spray anywhere near a urban interface.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe that technology has evolved now to the point that they could.
The big question is if you're spraying things, like, what are you going to replace it with? So whenever you've got bare ground, you get weeds, and that's the thing. It's very much about managing ground cover. The spraying is only a means to an end, but you need a plan to make that change happen on the ground. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's fine.
That was
I think, for us all. It's been a long, your investment over 10 years. If we can bring $10 million in and bring more in, which we will, it'll be something that will be getting quite a lot of attention, which I think will be exciting.
That'll be very exciting.
Yeah.
Kat, do you want to stay for that decision on the other group?
Just a moment, please. What was it, Councillor Major?
We've still got these other ones.
Yes, that's right.
You'd like Kat to stay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise where you were at.
Okay, we're back to resuming standing orders. Moved by Councillor Meacham, second by Councillor Orr. Those in favour of moving, please raise your hands. That is carried. Okie dokie.
Now we need a motion to move back to the original.
Now we need a motion to go back to
15.2. We passed
15.2. Yep. So a mover, please. Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Bailey. Those in favour, please raise your hand.
Debate.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry, who moved that?
Councillor Honour, seconded Councillor Bailey.
So, Councillor Honour, would you like to speak?
No.
Councillor Bailey?
No, I'm not there.
Councillor Lords?
No. So, is this 15.2?
Yeah.
There's a recommendation that Council will meet the fees for 2025 the Bothwell Hall by Clay Group Tasmania. Councillor Meacham?
Move. Yes, yes, move.
Isn't that Councillor Honour move and Councillor
Bailey?
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's yeah, fine. We've already got that
one. So I'll speak to it.
No.
You want to speak to
it? I wanted to speak to this. This is the playgroup one, right?
Yes.
Right. 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 Thank
you. Hang on just a minute. It was moved by Councillor Honour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And second by?
Councillor Bailey.
Yeah.
That's it. Sorry, we got a little bit carried away. Councillor Major.
Okay, just to presage something that Councillor Miller and I are working on, which is kind of regularising what we give rates remission for, what we give fees remission for, presaging that to the next meeting we might deal with this so that it's just on a more consistent basis. The whole issue of childcare and early childhood services have, without breaching closed session or, you know, workshop rules, it's received a lot of attention from us recently. We recognise this is a major need, not just in Bothwell but the other towns too. This is an example, just again to presage the motion that Councillor Miller will bring next meeting. This would not be a charitable organisation, or it would be? Registered charity?
So, no, it's not. And,
yeah.
I don't have an agenda in front of me, but I think that the last point that I make in that report is that it was hard to, and you have already remitted the fees on this for their location at the footy club, but they're moving. And so this is a matter of formality, just to let you know that they're now moving. But once again, that I think I said within council fees and charges schedule, there's not a specific category for calculating use of council hall for running playgroup activities. So, but no, they're not a registered, they're an organised.
They're not for profit.
They're a not for profit organisation rather than a charity.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm fully endorsing I'm just presaging what Councillor Miller is going to bring next session.
Councillor Honour, then, all right.
Before I speak, that closes the debate, doesn't it?
Yes,
yes,
yes it does.
We'll go the other way.
Yes,
can I ask, Steve, did we split up the whole where we could own? Yeah, the to answer the question. So, because Kat's made a comment here, but we now got a category for the next financial year.
Yeah.
Councillor Archer and Cassidy.
Mayor, I don't know if I need to declare interest here or not, so for the sake of being complete, I won't vote on the matter. I'm not sure if my granddaughter's involved in this when she's too young. And it's just occurred to me, well, perhaps she goes to that.
Getting a benefit.
I think I need to stand out
there. It relieves you of duties.
Exactly.
All right, we'll take that into account, thank you. Councillor Cassidy.
You should
go. Forgive my ignorance, everybody, but this playgroup, it's all about kids, right?
Yeah.
Mm. And looking after kids and keeping them engaged and so forth. And I think that anything that we can do, whether it's childcare or this play group or so forth, to keep kids occupied, then you keep them out of trouble.
Mm. Okay. Any other councillors? Right. Back to Councillor Honour, the mover.
Okay. In the whole island, community groups, local community groups, don't actually pay a fee. Mm. For that, So this is only to let people know that it's moved from the footy ground down to the town hall.
Location.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
But yeah, I think on the whole higher end that community groups don't have to pay anything.
Yes, correct. And I think the reason that I put that in there, and it's just probably a matter of, you know, semantics more than anything, but it was that it was a low. So Playgroup Tasmania is a statewide organisation,
yes.
And then Bothwell Playgroup sits into that, which is why it was sort of a little bit like, is it a like it's a local group, but it is actually a statewide organisation. Yes. So that's why I wasn't sure. I just wanted to sort of spell that out, that it wasn't actually that clear, but that would be the nearest closest category, I would think, as well.
Yes.
So the debate is now closed, and I'll ask for a show of hands. Those in favour of the recommendation for 15.2, please raise your hands. And taking into account Councillor Archer will not be voting, that is carried. Item 15.3, the Residence Guide Review Update. The update, Central Highlands Residence Guide, be received for consideration. A mover, Councillor Cassidy. Seconder, please. Councillor Bailey. Councillor Cassidy, do you have any comments?
Yes, Captain. I've sent you an update that's needed, and it just related to two different areas where the area of the Central Highlands was different in two different locations. I just wanted consistency throughout the report.
Thank you. I see
that very
helpful.
Thank you. Councillor
Bailey. No, I'm not there.
Bailey, you're right. Councillor Laws, it's open for you. Any comments? Okie doke.
Well, we're clear now.
Call.
Oh, no, I'll just say we clearly. Discussion with council about residents type of things,
yeah.
And getting attracting more. So this is part of the toolkit.
Yeah, yeah.
So Councillor Cassidy, would you like to close the debate?
Yeah, I've got nothing more to add. Thank you.
All right. In saying that, I'll ask for a raise of hands for the recommendation. Those in favour, please raise your hands. That is carried. Thank you.
Mayor, can I make a comment before we get on to the next one? If Cap could stay, there's a community grant one, item 17. Can we move the agenda to that one?
Well, it's only a couple away. You're happy to wait.
Sorry, I just got a bit confused before. I thought we'd all done with me, but no, that's
great. No, we've never done that. Well, we've got a few other things, but we've got a finance report that might take a while.
I
think that'd be good.
Item 17.4. That's what I was
moving it forward.
Will we move it?
We'll just go through the agenda as it is.
Okay, the agenda. Alrighty. 16, operational matters. 16.1, works and services. Councillor Honour. Councillor Bailey. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No.
Councillor Bailey?
No.
Councillor Laws? Meacham and.
No. Cassidy. No. Sorry,
Miller and Cassidy.
I'd just like to thank Jason and the men for picking up all the leaves so I'm not drowning in dead leaves off the trees.
Okay.
So,
very good.
I've done a good job on that. The only thing I don't know how hard it would be, but all those leaves that they pick up can be used and quite efficiently for compost.
Yes.
So I'm just, is there any way that and I know some councils on the mainland do it, where they leave them there and people come and just get bags of them and... I mean, I don't know what they do with them, whether they go up to the tip or not, but there seem to be a waste.
I think in the past there was a discussion about getting a mulcher in council.
Because that's not cost effective.
That goes back some time, I believe, doesn't it?
because they're, I mean, we're talking about, you know, saving some of our, not wasting things, but those leaves can be, you know, used as compost, and they're good compost. So I'd like to see us look into it at some stage.
Councillor Cassidy, you were next.
Yes, I wanted to ask Stephen about Mark Tree Road and those 100 tires that were dumped, if there's any progress from Tasmania Police on that, and have they actually been able to identify perhaps the identity of those tires, and maybe who sold them, thus it might lead to who dumped them?
No.
That's the short answer?
That is the short answer. That would have been the short answer even after we contacted Tasmania Police. They wouldn't have deemed it as very much of a high priority issue. But I'll take it up with Jason and see if that answer he gave you was incorrect.
Mm. All right, thank you.
Councillor, all right?
Speaking of Jason.
Oh, yeah. He is now. You got it.
I was going to say we... maybe council should ask Eve whether it's possible to easily get a recycling, vegetation recycling. But Jason's here as well, he might know more than what I do.
Welcome, Jason.
Eve was asking about recycling mud composting leaves and things like that. Is that too hard, or is that achievable, or is Eve has to help do it, or something like that?
So it's just below
all the leaves that are raked up around the place and chucked on the tip.
Yep.
Is it achievable?
Look, I suppose, are you talking about, is it for the community or just at the nursery, or?
All for the community. So just sweep them up around the town.
Yep, yep.
You know, and ooze and bring them back to the tip.
Yep.
So that's a that's probably another project. It's not.
I mean, it's probably not too difficult just to keep the leaves in a separate location.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something I know we have done in the past up here at the nursery.
Yeah.
And take them back there for them to use. So I mean, it is something that we, you know, it's possible.
It is for the cultural people who just come and get them.
Yeah. That's something that could.
But if you need to compost them, that's another.
That's right. Yeah, we'd only sort of have time just to
Yeah. You'd have to sell the compost there to make it work.
Yeah, it'd be time consuming.
Councillor Cassidy.
Well, I was going to suggest that perhaps if we invested in a composting slash mulching facility, composting, then what we could do is we could actually sell that material, what, maybe $10 a bag or whatever, to whomever wants to spread it in their garden. And,
Jason,
you know, during the wintertime, it'd be excellent.
Yeah, Jason, was this discussed some time ago about it getting a mulcher or whatever you call it?
That's been discussed in the past, Mayor, in relation to mulching the green waste that comes into the landfill site. Yeah, not so much composting.
I think Hobart City Council is doing that. Of course, they got a bigger budget than we do, but I'm
Councillor Mason.
This install 40-kilometre repeater signs, Tyson Crescent.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
You know, the 40-kilometre repeater signs?
No.
So, well, it's just not a 40-kilometre sign because there's only one at either entrance.
Okay.
It's just a request from residents, one in the middle.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Tyres.
Tires.
The police have called all those people in.
Unfortunately not, but fairly disappointing, as most people are probably aware, with the tyres that were dumped on Mark Tree Road. I think there was 147 in total. So, and probably 40 of them were with rings. Mm-hmm. So, for tyre disposal at our landfill site, we obviously charge accordingly. We only charge with what we're charged to take away. If a tyre's got a rim on it, then it's about $30 to take it away.
Wow.
Tyres that are contaminated, you know, muddy, dirty, are also charged extra. So you can imagine we never really get any tires that have got rings on them at the tip because we only pay what we charge to take away. But it'll be an expensive little episode. I would imagine it would cost the council close to $3,000 just to dispose of the tyres. And then it's quite an exercise for the guys to, cart them back up the hill because they're in the road reserve, and then load them on the trucks. So, very disappointing.
It's probably a work safety thing too, Jason, is it, for the guys?
Oh, well... No, we managed them there, it wasn't pleasant, yeah.
No.
It's got to be a commercial feature to be that number.
Councillor Cassidy.
I know I've already spoken, but this was before Jason came in talking about the tyres. Again, is there a way that we can use those tyres for, say, road... just to be able to use the tyres for like stabilising roads or stabilising banks or...
I think if we find that solution, Councillor Miller, we'll be very, very well off.
Well, why don't you?
In the same boat. Unfortunately, there's not much that can be done. There may only be two tyre recycle companies in the state, I believe. I've actually just gone to another company from Norfolk that's going to recycle our tyres.
And we can't find anyone that does the swamps?
It's a problem all around.
It has to be a commercial one.
Yeah, obviously that was a large quantity of tyres, but we do pick up tyres that are dumped on the road reservations throughout the whole municipality, so does every council.
Well, I did get an email because I commented it on their site, and I got an email back saying, oh, well, with the cost of being able to take a tyre to the tip, and as I said back, that's what it costs us to get rid of them. So it's not it's not us that are doing it.
Council's landfill sites or waste transfer stations, anything that's free to take away for council is free to the public. Anything that we're charged, we pass on to the public because that's the way it is. Unfortunately, we don't put anything on it. So if we're charged, what we're charged to take tyres away, we just pass that on to the public.
Thanks, Jason. Councillor Cassidy.
Jason, I'd like to discuss this dump a bit further with you and your experience on council and as manager and so forth. Would you say that was dumped with a large truck in one load, or do you think there was multiple trips there?
Well, probably one load in a large truck.
So then somebody along there, they may have a camera, a trail camera, or some sort of a residential type of a setup, or I don't know, that may have actually seen that vehicle approximately during the time that it was dumped. Also, another clue would be those rims. Those rims would fit very specific vehicles, and so I think it would be very easy to track down the type of person who would have accumulated that number of tires for specific vehicles and then dump them there. Now, I think if we could narrow it down to finding a person who would accumulate 147 tires and then dump them with specific rims related to specific vehicles, I think we would be able to find the culprit.
I know Taz Police are quite aware of who's got cameras within the area. No, but residents do have cameras along that road. We're going to check on those cameras. As for Pacific Rim, I think it's a needle in a haystack. I think that some of them were trailer tyres, and I think that anyone that has a Holden or a Ford wheel hub could be the culprit. It's not really specific to any type of vehicle.
Well, my understanding is it's Taz Police now, not council. Yep. So we really cannot continue. Councillor Hall, did you have a comment?
So us
by charging ratepayers and users to dispose of our tyres is costing us anyway. 140 tyres at that amount of money. 147. Then, you know, is it a good thing of charging people to put tyres there, or do we just suffer the loss? Because it's going to cost us. I mean, their tyres are going
to. I think that you could. I don't think you could cover the cost of people bringing in their tyres to the
landfill.
Once everyone knew that I was free, it would cost council an absolute fortune.
Mm. Yeah, Councillor Bailey. Then all right, we need to close.
Whereabouts on the Marquee Road was?
No, if you're heading towards the Lower Highway past Bloomfield, just past that next in between Allenbar and Bloomfield, on that real sharp corner.
On Steel's Hill there.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Councillor.
Well, Tony asked a question, but. No way of finding out where they came from, and it could have come from out of the valley anyway. Like someone come have a truckload up from New Norfolk.
All righty, I think we've discussed that, and as I say, it's in the hands of the police now. Any other questions for Jason, please? With the works and services? No? All righty. The recommendation was moved by Councillor Honour. Second by Councillor Bailey. Councillor Honour, do you want to close the debate?
No, just excellent work. Once again, Jason, from your guys.
Thank you, Jason. Well done. So, in saying that, I will ask for a show of hands in support of the recommendation. Please show your hands. And I will record that everyone... Is your hand up, Councillor? That is carried. All councillors. Okay. 16.2 is Telstra Home Service Myina. Mm. Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to this?
We canvassed the issues here in an earlier motion that I put up earlier, so I don't want to rehash all of that, but I'd like to say congratulations to the emergency services people in the Great Lake area who did so much, got this onto the agenda and got it onto the public agenda, commentary and media. It's great on their part. Got to get this done before somebody dies. And a community visit, as I said earlier in this session, a community visit from Telstra doesn't cut the mustard for me. They know perfectly well what needs to be done and the time frame it needs to be done, and thank you.
Thank you. And there's many people, including, remember I read a letter from Michelle Rowland, the Minister for Communications as well, so she's on board.
Mm.
The second, Councillor Cassidy, do you have anything to say?
Nothing more to that, thank you.
Councillor Lewis? Okay. Would you like to close, Councillor Major?
Thank you for the support around the table, I presume.
Thank you.
Hoping.
Do you think?
And just for noting, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Okay, so I will put the recommendation forward. Raise your hands in favour, please. That is carried. Very good. 16.3 is a recommendation. Move, please, Councillor Miller. Second, Councillor Cassidy. Solar power. Councillor Miller, would you like to speak to this?
Yes. I know that Councillor Cassidy's been asking for the high-efficient LED lighting in our council properties. I know that the solar power can be a bit hard at times with our buildings that are heritage listed, but I think we need to undertake a review on the solar power, because the building is used during the day, and that's when that's when the solar power will come in. So I think we do need to take a review on that and see what we can do with it. Because in the end, it's going to save us and the ratepayers a lot of money.
Thank you, Councillor Cassidy.
Oh, well, geez, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. And refresh my memory, Stephen. I think we did this, what, back in 2019 originally, was it?
That's right. Correct.
That we did a, we had a, this energy ROI, yeah, it's right there, I'm sorry, August 2019. They came here and they did an audit, energy audit, and identified how we'd be able to, our council would be able to save money. There's some things that are beyond our control, for example, LGAT. They negotiate with Aurora Energy only. I personally think that they should be a bit more competitive and should consider other energy providers. Perhaps as a council, we could be lobbying them to explore other options. That would help us. At the time, it was recommended by this energy ROI that we go to another provider. I probably shouldn't say anything on tape, but I think we should certainly consider that and push LGAT to explore all options to help council save money. And the rest of the discussion about the solar power and the LED lighting and so forth, I've been banging on that for almost every budget. So, well, the LED stuff anyway. But I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Councillor
Archer Meacham. Mayor, I was in the room when this report from Duncan Livingston was tabled. I thought it was well written, well considered. I don't believe any of the charging is likely to have changed significantly. So I think we should take the advice that was provided by Duncan Livingston at the time and keep a watching brief on it, but at this stage make no changes. One question I would ask is Duncan identifies that the Hamilton offices here are a major sting in terms of our energy bill for the year, particularly the winter heating. Is there a potential to do any compartmentalisation of the Hamilton offices to try and get that energy cost down, in your view, Stephen?
I can only make an assumption that when the report was done, we weren't talking about heat pumps in this building.
Yeah.
That may be the case, I'm not sure. And now that it's got heat pumps, it might be a different equation. But I haven't drilled down any further than what I've done in this report.
Just a quick request, would you mind just having a look at that for us?
Yeah.
Because Duncan's really identified the big stings in the tail is this Hamilton office for us, which has really only got one person here a lot of the time. And perhaps there's some efficiencies that we might be able to put in place with just minor changes to pick up some more benefit there. I'm very sympathetic to what Councillor Mill is saying, but I think we're silly to disregard an expert report.
Thank you. Councillor Meacham, then all right.
Look, a couple of things. This is an era of technology that changes very, very rapidly, and nowadays a 6.6 kilowatt system, your consultant recommends 5, but 6.6 is more like a base level installation. I've noted that both Bothwell and Hamilton have very good solar resource, really good sunshine hours. I've recently done 2 11 kilowatt installations, basically in Tasmania. The costs, and thanks for that cost data, GMSD, that you sent me, but the costs here are generally about $1,000 per kilowatt installed. In relation to heritage buildings, the solution there is you do them ground mounted. And then you don't have a problem
on that side.
Away from view. On bigger systems, the payback period I know is 4 years, which is flowing well. Heat pump is a really example of again a very rapidly evolving technology, and they get better and better. I recommend that we do move on this, probably not from this budget cycle, but the next budget cycle. Thanks.
Councillor Wright.
So the uptake of solar in the municipality is very low, according to Councillor Meacham's research. And I think it'd be prudent for council to lead, to show to lead at that level.
20 in the whole LGA, according to Net Test Networks.
Across the whole LGA.
Yeah.
Well, no, the uptake is low across the LGA. We've got good solar resources, use them. And there's some increasing interest from the renewable energy sector to help us at that level, but that hasn't been landed a deal yet. But council's certainly got to lead by example.
Welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
I just would like to add one more comment that if we're going to consider solar, and we should consider solar for our buildings, if we're going to consider a solar power for council offices in Brockville and Hamilton, I would certainly recommend that we include battery storage, backup storage. So, I mean, if we're going to do the job, we might as well do it right the first time and save money. That's about 10 grand?
Yeah, 10K. Thanks.
Okay, back to Councillor Miller to close.
I think, yes, we could, if we went to solar and show that the community that we're involved in this and that we, in this system, then it might get more people to do it, but definitely I'm a great believer in the residential and community solar. I've had it for years, and I haven't had a very big bill, but yes, I think we need to start looking at this and as Councillor Meacham said, probably not this financial year, but for the next, and it will give us some time to say before I finish. Though, we were talking about the Hamilton office. Now that was in 2019. Mm. Yeah, obviously the office has been redone since then too. Right. So that's something else we need to look at. Thank you.
That's closed the debate. So now I will put the recommendation up. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Councillor Forright, Miller, Archer, Honour, Meacham, Cassidy, Councillor Bailey's out of the room, Councillor Hall, and myself, so it's carried. Okay, 16.4 is Haulage Hill reunion. Mover, Councillor Cassidy, I think it was. Councillor Meacham, second. Councillor Cassidy, as the mover, would you like to speak to it?
I spoke to the ratepayer that sent the letter. Had quite a lengthy discussion. I won't comment on the phone conversation beyond that. I don't think it's productive, but I would say that doing nothing, as we have done, is not an option. I think that we need to address this and address it efficiently to the satisfaction of the residents of Haulage Road.
As a second to Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to it? Yes,
look, I'm supportive of this motion. I note the last time that Haulage Hills residents spoke to us, the second thing they said, and this is Meg Margaret, I think, said, we've got no consensus on what we want done.
It's endless.
They said that to us, and that left us, in la-la land in terms of response. Now they've come back with this proposal. I think it's a sound proposal. I note that speed humps really aren't viable. The state growth will not allow them in areas that are subject to snowfall. And a speed hump hidden under a dump of snow constitutes a major traffic hazard, so I'm glad we're not pursuing that path. Moreover, we would need significant changes to the surface to do it. I'd also note that there was a motion I put forward in August 2024 for new criteria for snow clearing. That can be communicated back to them, saying that the triggered time now is not 48 hours but 24 for 30 centimetres of cover. That was passed. With reference to you, Councillor Hall, and the prosperous years that we have ahead, I reckon there's capacity for us to be basing a snowplough up at Maina, have someone engaged on a sessional basis to get to the snow clearing faster.
Thank you. And just an add-on to that information is I received an email asking for pedestrian signs to be on both ends of that on Haulage. So would you like to speak to it, Steve? Because the acting GM and I have had some discussions with the Warwick Hill residents.
Some discussion. Basically, when you start talking to her, it's going to take you a while, but anyway, hopefully she's not listening at the moment.
No worries.
I'm sure she will.
Quite clearly, the discussions we had were to the point of where we are now, was that she doesn't want us to do the work on the road for an 18-month period, and hopefully that will make the road not a disaster, but it'll actually, if people or traffic goes through, they'll actually slow down and drive to the conditions. My comments to that were that it really depended on how badly it degraded over the period and what our costs are likely to be to go back over in 18 months to fix something that we could have just maintenance graded over the period. And she's quite clear that if it got to a point like that, she'd have to get us in to do something. So that's basically the conversation I've had with her.
Yeah, very similar. I've had quite some conversations with her, and with this recommendation states at all. Cease all high standard maintenance, only with the exception of emergency repairs. Any councillors? Councillor Archer?
Mayor, having read all the letters and I foreshadow an amendment to the motion. I think that one of the suggestions that came out of the letters, which I thought was productive, was the signage issue at the each end, and one in particular where they suggested that penalties may apply. I think that's at a low cost but might have some impact. I'm like David, not supportive of the pumps. I think that would be very dangerous on a snow-covered road. Mm-hmm. A lot of the other suggestions, again, in my view, are making it one way, either up or down, not really practical. I agree with what the General Manager said, except that I think Council has an absolute responsibility to keep the road tractable so that it's safe. We need to ensure that it doesn't get to the stage where it's becoming a safety concern. So I'd like to foreshadow an amendment which would just add to the existing motion that signage, as suggested in the reports, be included as part of our resolution to the motion.
Councillor, is that pedestrian signs by
then? No, it's where they request that penalties apply should the road be used inappropriately.
If Councillor Cassidy and Councillor Meacham are happy, we could include in it the pedestrian signs and yours for the...
Sounds fine.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think it's a good draft. We are all very keen to see something done. But as David's pointed out, there's a myriad of different points of view on how that would be best undertaken. And we have to recognise this as an area where council have had to help out state growth because of exceptional circumstances with rain events, with snow events. And but we do have to maintain a safe standard of roading. And given that those limits, I think it's a good suggestion.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. And then
I just wanted to clarify the realignment to the entry point. Does anyone know what they mean by?
Well, that was pointed out to us previously.
I can. Because they go straight off now, they would like a chicane put in, that people have got to go around.
So we're happy to for you to close it, Councillor Cassidy, the debate.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've got nothing more there.
Okay. So the debate's closed. And now I'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Okay, that is carried. Very good. Thank you. We'll try to keep moving now that we've got Paul waiting.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks,
Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
17 operational matters, 17.1, the monthly finance. Welcome, Z. Any questions for Z? Councillor Meacham moved. Who seconded that? Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Meacham, any comments?
Yeah, look, thanks, Zeeshan, in particular, those summaries up front are really helpful.
Thank you so much.
And well composed. I did put some queries to you about the... I noticed the operating swimming pool, 142% of budget. Works and services, the halls overrun. I think, what was the overrun, about 18,000, 16,000? And I know 11,000 of that was the Great Lake Community Centre. So, thanks for those explanations.
Have you already received an email?
Yes, I have. Thank you. And the gardens are overrun too. Can you remind me, please, what was the origin of the bridge overspend?
So, when we actually refund back to the deposits,
yes.
So we keep it as a certain amount of money in if any projects going on for the next financial year.
Yeah.
But we have to refund that money back to them, and that actually obviously come out from this financial year.
Okay.
But it's a part of the last financial year. That's why I
asked. Okay.
So it's not actually supposed to be, I shouldn't be including in that, but I just actually show you the actual figures. That's why actually I'm mentioning that one.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Otherwise, we're not actually working on this financial year on anything on bridges.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Do we know what bridges they were?
Sorry?
Do we know which bridges?
Want to know which bridge we were working on?
Yeah. I thought we had completed those.
Yeah. So these old bridges already been completed last financial year.
Sorry, can you speak a little slowly?
Those old bridges have been completed last financial year. The last bridge we had actually was a wooden bridges, which converted into the concrete one. But just because the contractors, when they're working on those projects, we hold actually some certain amount of contract payments. And we release that actually those payments after 1 year of 12 months. And those bridges payments actually come out from this financial year. And that's why I'm mentioning this report.
So just to be clear, so it was really just a carryover?
Yeah, just a carryover.
Right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy has a second.
Yes, Zeeshan. I just wanted to say, sir, this is the first time I've read a financial analysis in the near 12 years I've been on council, and I just really, really like it a lot.
Me too.
You're really good value for the money, I'll tell you that. Perhaps this might be an operational thing, but I would like, if Zeeshan has time, I'd like to find out how much we are spending in the Hamilton offices versus the Bothwell offices. You know, what the total spend is for paper clips, bottles of water, heating, lighting, the whole bit. And I'd like to compare that to the Bothwell office. So I'd like to see what we're spending. And maybe if we had some kind of an analysis in the future, or maybe for next council report.
Look, the thing being is, I'm quite happy to have a look at it, but to drill down to the level that you're talking about, might be not truthful, but anyway, we'll see what we can do.
But anyway, Zeeshan, excellent report, excellent work. Thank you very much.
Welcome, thanks so much. Stephen, you already actually mentioned that before with Vishnu in regards to the report you were asking for, which does require a little bit of time, and I'm actually coordinating with the auditors at the same time and then looking at other stuff. So just allow me like a few weeks, and I'm hoping that I will actually provide that report by the June.
Thank you very much, Jason. Councillor Orr.
So, your reporting seems to have gone down really well in your analysis. But right at the end there, there seems to be little appetite to report our financial reserves as so much available to council, so much is grant funding, so much is community held. I've sort of been asking for that for 2 or 3 months. There seems to be little appetite for it.
I will actually make sure that next one, monthly reports, I will...
I'll do a deal with you. If you don't do it, I'll get a notice of motion to make it.
And I will make sure that actually next...
Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. Like, so much is grant funding, which is already allocated for a project.
Yep.
Yeah.
So much is community funds,
yep.
Like, for example... we hold some church funds for the church. So much, I mean, if you want to drill into it, so much is our statutory employment requirements and so much is available for council.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the deal. Next time
we will be having other panel meetings.
Just extra four
that's
lines.
That's actually the latest one, so I wouldn't worry.
Just extra four lines, not no. four pages.
Okay.
Four lines.
Four pages is okay.
No.
Okay, no other questions around the table. Councillor Meacham, would you like to close?
Jim, I'm really thankful for what you raised there because I think in the absence of that, we want them just aggregated, the reserves just aggregated so that it's clear that, you know, the 70,000 is to cope with, you know, unexpected events, so much as St Michael's Church, etc. Because I think too often as councillors, we look at that balance and think, you know, money to spend.
Especially coming up with budget.
Yeah.
Look at it and say.
But there's still actually, I will make a report for you, but before that, and I will just want to be let you know that those reports actually is on based on the forecast as well.
We
don't receive sometimes money on
your monthly report should be able to say what it is at this particular month, not rely on a forecast.
Like the money we receive.
If you've got so much money in the bank today, or at the 30th of March or whatever.
Yep.
So much of it is grant money, so much of it is community funds held, so much of it is council available, so much is council statutory requirements.
Okay.
To complete, can I?
To you,
just to complete, I ask, I don't know if this is proper, but ask, could you bring a draft of that to the audit meeting in June? We've got an audit meeting in early June, please. Yes.
Thank you.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, sir. You're doing a good job. Very good job.
Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Meacham has closed, so I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against the recommendation?
Okay.
Councillor Archer, did you?
Yes, I must have been very quick in my raising of the hand.
Very quick. It is carried. 17.2.
Call your flash.
Mover, please. Councillor Honour. Councillor Allwright. Councillor Honour, would you like to come in?
Straightforward.
Thank you, Councillor Allwright.
So we've got to do this now.
Yes.
But effectively, because it's got to be. We've got to have them authorised.
Yeah,
we can start in July 1.
Yeah,
yep. Yep. So you're okay, Councillor Allwright, no comments for the seconder. Councillors, any comments?
No.
Back to you, Councillor Honour.
No.
All straightforward. I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. That is carried. Thanking you. Alright. 7.3, the renewal of the Highway Tasmania side agreement. A mover, Councillor Meacham, and a seconder, Councillor Allwright. Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to this?
I think this is really straightforward, and I endorse it.
Councillor Allwright is the
seconder. So, yep, straightforward. Electricity is coming everywhere. We've got to be involved.
Very good. Now I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, raise your hands. Councillor B, yes. Carry. 17.4, the community donation request for the Ouse Country Club. This is the one that Councillor Bailey said he will leave the room.
I'd like to move that if I may, ma'am.
I'll second it.
Who was that? Second. Who was it?
I think Jim was going.
Cassidy.
Oh, no, I couldn't hear that.
So it was moved by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Archer, would you like to speak to it?
Only that it's a small pop-up, Mayor, that's being requested, which I think is more than reasonable. I think it's basically council property anyway, is my understanding, it'd be good just to get the whole thing tidied up and it's all run by volunteers and entitled to what support council can moderately provide.
Very good. And Councillor Cassidy is the seconder.
I support Anthony's.
Yep. Councillors, Councillor Meacham, and then all right.
I'll reference to again to you, Councillor Miller. This is another example of a not-for-profit, but certainly not a charitable one, but serves a large slice of our community and worthy of our support. So I endorse it. Yeah.
Councillor all right.
It is actually a council on facilities. I've got a question. Right at the end there says financial implications, the institution finances lower than the community grants budget. So where'd that come from? Our community grants budget has been so undersubscribed for all my time on council, and then all of a sudden that
it says there is sufficient.
I was trying to put an actual figure in there, but I didn't get a chance when I had the report ready. Yeah. But there is sufficient funding.
So our community grants budget is well undersubscribed.
Any
other
councillors'
comments?
No. Back to Councillor Archer to close. No, I just think it's a worthy project that we should be supporting.
Thank you. So I'll put the recommendation forward. Please raise your hand in favour of the recommendation. That's carried. Thank you.
Whilst we are moving on to another matter, it would be very helpful if we keep that ratio of donations up to projects where we put in $700 to get a $20,400 benefit back. That would be great.
Yeah, excellent. 18.1, Bill of Catchment, which was already addressed, Councillor Allwright. Councillor Miller. Any comment, Councillor Allwright?
So, Eve was here. Correct. We should have passed it then.
Seconder, Councillor Miller.
No, everything's been there that we need to read.
Councillors. Okay, no comments, so I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Councillor Bailey, are you in favour? Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No, it's all straightforward.
Is this 19 we're talking about?
Yeah, 19.1. I did say 19.1, Councillor. 19.1 it is. The second is Councillor Miller. Any comments?
No, it's straightforward.
Councillors? No comments. Okay, I'll put the recommendation up. Those in favour, please raise your hands. That is carried. Very good. Operational matters arising. Consideration of supplementary. I've got a motion here from Councillor Meacham. That's correct, isn't it?
Yes.
That must have been a late one, was it? The missed one?
Yeah.
Okay. Could I have a seconder? It's moved by Councillor Meacham, seconded by Councillor Cassidy. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor?
Oh, just a report so that people know what's happening and when. This was a Zoom meeting. It was interesting. It was wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, all of half an hour, which I think was probably not a good way to run it. Andrew Wallace from Nick Dwiggan's office was on there, but mostly it was Vanessa Pinto from Rickford. And what it points to, and this is a report only for noting, in the coming months, two concurrent decisions have to be made. First, that the development of the Northwest Renewable Energy Zone. All of this stuff's taken years. The second is a commitment to the Mariners Project. And those are codependent. There are further dependencies down the line, though, including Tarralea. So if these decisions are made positively, then Tarralea becomes a feed. And that extra supply line from Watermanna to Palmerston needs to be considered to handle the load. I think the rest of the report's pretty much self-explanatory. I would note, though, too, in relation to Marinus, that we import more electricity than we export. We spend
more quantity,
quantity. Yes, more kilowatt hours.
More.
We import more kilowatt hours than we export.
Dollar wise,
hopefully. So, but we also experience dramatic shortfalls over winter, which is where we spend a lot of money on gas generation. So, Marinus will help balance that out by getting a feed in from the East Coast energy market, as it is already with Basslink.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cassidy, you're the seconder.
Nothing to add.
Okay, Councillors.
Not really new, except I note that in Victoria that was published this week, the government intend taking up 5% of agricultural land for renewable energy.
Absolutely.
5% is of agricultural land.
If I could ask, Madam Mayor.
Yes.
It takes, just look at the energy production equivalent. It takes 2,770 wind turbines, which occupy about 486 hectares, I believe, of land, to produce the equivalent energy of one nuclear power plant, which takes 50 acres. I just thought I'd throw it out there for us. We're go nuclear.
Thank you. Anything else, councillors? Councillor Machin, would you like to close?
Just note that we don't decide either state or national energy policy. This was really for noting, just to keep people informed.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand. Vote, mate. Raise your hand. That is carried. Thank you.
5%.
Consideration. We've done this up. Commentary. I thank you all for your contribution and I declare the meeting closed at 12. What, didn't it? 18?
Yeah. Did we contribute?
12:18.
18, of course.